Welcome back to the Cape Fear Rundown. From WHQR Public Media, I'm your host, Camille Mojica. This week, we talked to Rachel Keith about some updates from our local school board. Stick around. Welcome back to the Cape Fear Rundown. I'm here with Rachel Keith. Hello, Rachel.
Hello, Cammie.
It's been a while since you've been on the show.
I know. I'm back.
You are back. You're better than ever, and we've got more school board stuff to talk about.
Yes, we do.
Okay. So there was a statewide climate survey that was rolled out for all teachers across the state, and they all had to take it. When was this rolled out?
Yes, so they took this statewide survey that's done every 2 years by the Department of Public Instruction. They took it in March, and then the initial results were recently released. So I got to see the data for the county school system, and you can look at any other school system throughout the state and see how they scored. And it's cool, you can also see for New Hanover County Schools, you can see each school. So you can look up your child's school and see how the teachers feel at your own school that you attend.
Okay, that's interesting. So what were some of the main takeaways from this survey? I know there was a lot of data that was in there, but number one, we had just said, you were talking to me saying that teachers feel like they don't have enough time. Time to do what?
Yes. So time, some of the questions are historical. So they've been following this time that they spend working right on their jobs over the past 4 years, and the time to do their job is decreasing. So for example, one of the questions was, do you have enough non-instructional time? So that means enough time to plan for your instruction. And that has decreased by 11 percentage points from 57% to 46%.
Wow.
Of New Hanover County school teachers say that time has significantly decreased. And that's what we hear on prior climate surveys from a couple years ago that the district did, is that teachers don't have a lot of time because they're tutoring, or they have duties, or they have to home monitor, or they are in meetings with other teachers with planning. So grading is a big issue. When do they have time to grade? So the time that they say that they have enough time to do their jobs is diminishing.
Now, because you can break it down by school district, there are certain things that you can see where New Hanover County, I guess, scores lower in relation to other school districts across the state. And one of the things we talked about was teacher retention.
Yes, and those are things that perks to keep them working at their schools.
Okay.
And so in that category of questions on teacher retention and on school and teacher leadership, every single one of those questions in that category were lower than the state averages. So they're still pretty high. Like, a majority are saying, yes, I have some things that want to, the school is offering me some things that make me want to stay in my job. But compared to teachers around the state, it's not as high. And that was an interesting takeaway that I took. When you look at these question categories, the district was underperforming from the state average. And again, this, you can trust this survey because, again, it was a third party, and 91% of teachers took this survey. So
they had a really
high response rate. And I know that the district does, and schools say, hey, this is really important. It only comes around every 2 years, so you need to take this. And then the results help us build our plans for the next couple of years on how we can do better.
For professional development things that teachers said that they wish they saw more of and that they wanted more of, what were some of those things that they had mentioned?
Yeah, the top one was how they can reach multilingual learners. And we recently did a show on multilingual learners and the debate around the high school program at Mosley, and a lot of students who attend that school are multilingual learners. And that population is increasing throughout our district. Some of our elementary schools are 50% multilingual learners.
Hmm.
So you can see in the data that teachers really want to reach these students, again, who are speaking Spanish at home and not English as their first language, for example. And then behind that are exceptional children, and those might be students with disabilities, it might be students who are high achieving, children that have, you know, different abilities that teachers need to reach. They're not just like your normal student. Mm-hmm. And then that was followed by more professional development in their content areas.
For there was a question on the survey this year that was actually removed, and it had to do with central office. Does it have to do with each district central office, like their specific?
Yes. So in 2020, this question was only for principals. So only principals took this question.
Okay.
But in 2022, only 33% of the district principals said that there was an atmosphere of trust and mutual respect in the district. But come 2024, that question disappeared. So we don't have a good gauge about how teachers and principals are feeling about central office.
But the school board has a solution to that.
Yes. So they recently unanimously voted to have a local survey done. So they understood that the state survey was going to come out this year, but they wanted to do their own to do more focused questions for teachers and staff that work in this district. And it is for both certified and classified staff.
Okay.
So that kind of encapsulates all of their, you know, certified teachers, your teacher's assistants, social workers. Everybody can take this survey, and it's done through the University of North Carolina, Wilmington. So the professors at the Watson College of Education are running this. They're collecting the data, and then they should have a report out by the end of the summer to show what they responded to questions on central office and the school board's leadership and the curriculum. And that survey opened on May 14th, and it closes on the 31st.
Okay, but this is done by a third party. It's not done by the school district itself.
Yes, because their last climate survey in 2021, that was run by the district's communications office. And there were some complaints that, hey, we don't really feel comfortable taking this because it is run by the district, not a third party. But this is going to be run by a third party, so the hope is that people answer more honestly and not fear that their answers could be found out.
Now, this week, there was also a policy committee meeting on the 21st. So just to give a little bit of context here, on May 7th at their board meeting, they originally voted to put in place a policy that limited displays in the classrooms and buses, school grounds. And I'll read the language here so that way everyone knows exactly what they were talking about. But it says that principals and teachers shall limit displays in the classrooms, school buildings, school grounds, and buses, such as signs and flags, to materials that represent the United States, the state of North Carolina, New Hanover County, the school name and mascot, and or of the approved curriculum. And they passed that 4-3 during that board meeting. But they had a policy meeting this week to actually amend that and change the language. So now the language has been changed to add in a couple things, such as postgraduate displays for trade schools, college, military schools, school-sponsored events, sponsorships, family photos, and student art, the school name and mascot, post-secondary instruction, and or approved curriculum. And that was voted 2-1 during the policy committee, with Melissa Mason and Pat Bradford voting in favor and Stephanie Crable voting against it. Now this goes back to the full board for a vote on June 4th. Can you tell us a little bit about why they amended this policy?
Yes, yeah, so it was brought forth on the 7th without discussion from the policy committee or the other board members. Some of the other board members had no idea what this was. They hadn't seen the language. and it was brought forth as an emergency by Pat Bradford, who's a board member. And she said that it was an emergency because of what happened at UNC Chapel Hill's campus, where the American flag was taken down and that Chancellor Roberts had to put it back up. And so that was the emergency. And so she added that language and they passed that policy emergency, right? It's supposed to be temporary, in quotes. But district staff and principals had to get on a call the next day to say, what do we do? What are the consequences if we don't do this? And what you read, Cammie, about the policy amendments, you know, what about my family pictures? What about my school? You know, if I'm an NC State fan, can I have NC State stuff up?
I should add, it also says the United States and other nations. So you can't have other nations' flags up.
Yes, and that's interesting too, because the whole thing was sounded like it started with Palestinian flag versus an Israeli flag, but now under the new policy, it looks like you could have those flags. And we have people who come to us who I've asked to go on record about this policy, but they fear retaliation on the part of some people on the board. And a lot of them have been telling us that they really think this is about LGBTQ flags in the classroom or potentially Black Lives Matter signs. And so that's their point of view. But the language is very, it's crafted to not say what they can't do, but what they can. And so do they have some wiggle room in limiting, you know, what they put in their classroom? Because there is a Supreme Court case that says that employees' speech is somewhat controlled, but and that's up for debate too. Like when you cross the line into First Amendment speech, and when is it okay for your employer to regulate your speech or your displays in the office or
so
in the classroom?
Bit of a complicated issue
it
in
is.
Terms of where the line actually is.
That's correct.
Okay. Now, there's also an agenda review meeting next Tuesday at 2:00. What is going to be discussed at this agenda review?
So it's our understanding at WHQR that one of the district employees who runs the program Battle of the Books is going to be presenting on what it is and what they do. And I remember participating in Battle of the Books as a middle schooler. So it's been around a long time. And it's my understanding that this is an extracurricular that students can opt into if they really love reading or they're excited about reading different types of books and answering trivia questions about them, that they read the book.
So they read books and they answer trivia about them.
Yeah, typically that's what they do. And actually the district, if you go on their Facebook page, they publicized their recent Battle of the Books competition. And actually a set of students were just recognized at the board meeting for winning their category. So, I mean, it's something that the district wants to do and celebrates, but we have some board members that are skeptical of the program and potentially want to see it amended or go away, possibly.
And that board member in particular is board member Josie Barnhart, who had written an article for the right-leaning journal, the Carolina Journal, basically talking about how she dislikes activism within the schools. And she brought up that one of the books on this year's list was called Ban This Book, and she has an issue with activism being present in the schools. So I'm assuming she's the one who has brought forward this conversation, and that is why they're having the presentation?
Yes, because they're potentially, you know, I guess she's asking more questions about this program, and is it promoting activism or not, or you know, is it something that the district wants to do? Because we can see through these new policies about the limitation of displays. I mean, there are specific things that they're looking for to be presented in the district.
Well, Rachel, thank you for being on the show with me this week and giving us this very thorough school board update.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Cape Fear Rundown. Check out our show notes for relevant links and titles to the music we used this week. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or just general feedback, feel free to get in touch. You can shoot me an email at cmojica, that's M-O-J-I-C-A, at whqr.org, or you can find me on X at Cammie Reports. I'd love to hear from you. I'm your host, Camille Mojica, and I'll see you next week.